The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, today's show almost did not happen. And so it's we're going to have a good time. Everything's fine. There are no major problems, but I've been trying to get ready for the cataract surgery on Monday, which is not a big deal. You know, I was really concerned about this, but I think about 10,000 of you sent me messages saying, Todd, I've had this. It's a piece of cake. Don't worry about anything. You're not even going to know what's happening to you. And so I'm okay with that. But Grace, yesterday I get this telephone call, and it's the doctor's office, and they're like, oh yeah, you've got to have a China virus test. They say you have to have a COVID test. I mean, I said, you mean a China virus test? And they said, what? A China virus test. It came from China. That's what it is. So after I got them set straight on what this actually was, they said, well, you have to have one before you can have the surgery. And I thought, well, geez, Lou, where am I going to get,
I know a guy.
So I get a call. So I call my doctor, and I can't give out any names. I posted the picture on our Instagram, and you've got to see the photo. It's pretty funny. So I get a weird call this morning, because I sent my doctor an email last night saying, hey, look, can you help me out here? Because without the China virus test, you can't get your surgery, right? It's a simple little procedure.
It's like a black market getting these things.
So, and I asked the nurse yesterday, I'm like, well, okay, can I, it's impossible to get a test. Can I just do one of the home tests? Maybe I can get one of those. And they said, no, you can't use those because the home tests are not accurate. And so I'm asking the nurse, well, if it's not accurate, why is the president of the United States telling everybody to go out and get one of these home tests?
Money, money, money.
That's all it is. You know, Big Pharma is dumping of dollars of cash into the coffers of everybody up in Republicans and Democrats. So the tests mean nothing. And I hate to break that to you, but I heard this directly from the nurse who said, we will not accept a home test result because they are not accurate. So I'm thinking, well, I'm screwed. That, I'm going to be as blind as a bat for another couple of months, because it's taken, again, because of what Barack Hussein Obama did to the nation's healthcare industry, it's taken 6 months to even get an appointment to have the cataract surgery done.
Ridiculous.
This did not happen before Barack Hussein Obama destroyed the American healthcare industry.
I was too young to remember.
Yeah, well, they were good old days. You get sick, you go to the doctor.
What a world.
And you go in, the doctor, you still have to wait 3 hours to see the doctor. But, at least you get to see the doctor. So anyway, so I get this call this morning. And I'm furious. I'm working, trying to knock out some commentaries. And it's a female voice, and it's a nurse, and it's my doctor's nurse. And Grace, I kid you not, she said, we can give you a test. All you need to do is get in your car, drive to the doctor's office, drive around to the back of the doctor's office. There's a big garbage dumpster there. You need to pull in to the garbage dumpster alongside. There will be a telephone number plastered on the side of the garbage dumpster. You need to call that number.
And come alone.
And someone, I'm like,
don't bring anybody.
I'm like,
with
wait,
you.
Am I being pranked here? Am I like being set up? Is this some sort of a sting operation?
Don't tell anyone where you're going.
I'm getting like some sort of a black market China virus test.
Well, before you left, Todd, you know, you gave me, you were like, look, if I don't call you in an hour,
Grace, here's where I'm at.
Then come and rescue me.
Come and find me. Come and I'll be floating in the Wolf River, heading downstream. So so the nurse was like, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What's going on here? She goes, no, seriously. She goes, you need to pull in. So I pull in. So I get in my caddy. I drive down there. I do exactly as I'm instructed to do. So I get there. There are two garbage dumpsters, and both of them have telephone numbers on them.
This is the test. You have to
I'm
figure out which one.
What do I do? So I pull in. I'm looking around, making sure, you know, I'm just trying to check out this. This is all happening before the show. All right. So I see the phone number. So I call the phone number and it's ringing and ringing. And finally somebody answers, yeah, this is Rudy's Porta John. What can I do for you? It was a porta potty place. And I'm thinking, well, I got the wrong number. So then I'm looking around. So I'm getting out of the car at this point, and I'm not even sure because I was trying to follow the instructions to the T, and they said, you know, don't get out of your car. Someone will come to you. And so so I look, and then and sure enough, there was a small little sign, and I actually had to get out of the car, and it was frozen over. Because it's like below freezing here.
Oh, yeah.
And but I was able to make it out. Call, and not kidding, 3 minutes later, there's like a knock on the window. It scared the living bejeebers out of me. Because I was at that point, I think I was posting on Instagram what was going on. And I looked.
Contacting me.
And there's a woman in a hazmat suit. And we got a good laugh because I told her about the wrong number. And so anyway, she sticks that thing up the nose. And gives it a good swab.
You know, gets into your brain a little bit.
And it wasn't that bad. She was very gentle.
Oh, good.
And then she looked. I said, have a good day. She says, don't call the wrong number next time.
And dang. Goes back inside. She roasted you.
Oh, it was very clever. So anyway, I get back to the office, and boom, I've got the test result. And it's negative,
which is
great. So then I get another call. And they're like, oh, yeah, you've got to have permission. You have to have a permission slip from your cardiologist.
Wait, what?
I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what are you people doing to me? I'm not having cancer surgery. I'm having a freaking cataract. So now I got to try to hunt down.
The world is against you.
Grace, it's like they don't want me to have this. They don't want my eye fixed. That's what it is.
Conspiracies are brewing.
I'm like, what have I done? Nothing is simple anymore. And that's the whole point of it, right? Nothing is simple. And the government, the rules, the regulations, they make everything so miserable.
So that you'll just give up.
Exactly. And I'm going to walk around half blind. And those of you who are watching on the Facebook live stream, you know, whenever I have to read something, it's like I'm looking up into the ceiling. So anyway, Grace, if the phone rings during the show, you're going to need to take the call. And if you can just get my cardiologist to write, Todd has permission to have and that, by the way, that's all they need. I'm like, well,
like
what do you want?
Going to school, you know?
Wait. I asked them, I'm like, well, what do you want my cardiologist to say? And they said, we just need one sentence. Todd has permission to have cataract surgery. I'm like, so Dr. Kyle, the audio engineer / cardiologist, if I don't hear from the cardiologist, am I allowed to like get out, you know, how you used to in school, you know, you used to fake permission slips. Well, I wouldn't say forge. That's a bit of a harsh word, but I'm just saying. All that to say, folks, it's been a weird day, and I probably should have taken the day off, but I thought, you know what? Yes. No, we're going to be able to do all this. No problem.
Got it. No big deal.
We're going to have a lot of fun today, if I'm here on Monday, I did not have cataract surgery. But if I'm not here, then put me on the prayer list. How's that, Grace?
Sounds good. Are you going to give us updates from the operating room?
I will give you... Grace, I see a man approaching with a knife.
Let's just hope they're not playing Dancing Queen in the background.
Okay, that's inappropriate. Now, you
your
know.
Your face.
That's inappropriate.
Wow, what a mood change.
I will say this. If the directions to heart surgery or to a cataract surgery include park your car behind the garbage dumpster, I may have to, you know, take a pass. I'm just saying.
It's probably a good move.
What is going on here? So you got to see the photo, and you'll see it there
it.
On
hilarious.
Instagram. It's crazy, right? Also, and we'll get to our good friend Joe from L. You know what? Since I've already blown up what I was originally going to talk about, we normally do not take
it's
phone calls.
Friday.
Here.
It's okay.
It is. So we always talk about the Pig Hill of Fame, which is in Ellijay, Georgia. And it's right behind this barbecue joint called Pool's Barbecue. And there are probably hundreds of pigs, the cutouts of pigs, on this hill. And everybody has their name on it. And so I was honored a while back with a pig on the Pig Hill of Fame.
I was, yeah.
And we have a photo.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You can see it. It's right there. So Joe from Ellijay was kind enough to take my pig off the Pig Hill of Fame so he could be photographed with my pig alongside someone else's. And we're going to bring Joe on here. Let's go to the lines. Joe from Ellijay. Joe, how did you know what we were even going to talk about today? You called before the show started.
Todd, I didn't know, so I'm just tickled to death to talk to you. But David Perdue was honored that he had his picture taken with me and your pig at Pooh's Famous Barbecue. We had the leadership class there. A lot of great people there, and so they were all talking about your pig and David's pig. And so it was a great day at Pooh's Barbecue, and we all love you at Pooh's Barbecue.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and we've got the photograph up on our Instagram page. And folks, I would encourage you to go and check it out and follow us on Instagram. We have a lot of fun. But Joe, I have to tell you, I got a couple of messages from people because they thought that you were me. And so somebody actually said, Todd, you look a little older without the TV makeup. So
That's funny. But we had a great day, and Todd, I've got a great leadership class, and I'll be real fast on this. We got a guy named Sonny Park who came to America from Korea with no money and couldn't speak English, and now he pays $1 million in income taxes, and he's going to speak to the leadership class March the 5th. So we're real excited about firing up these young leaders. And of course, we tell them all to listen to. Oh, by the way, you were great on Newsmax, as usual. I watch Newsmax all the time, and I think that's a real honor that, you know, they use you because you're very good, and I really enjoy Newsmax, and so keep up the great work, my friend.
Well, you're kind to say that, Joe, and thank you again. I know you were the one that was responsible for giving me the pig on the Pig Hill of Fame, and we consider that to be a great honor here, and we always enjoy your great calls. So thanks for calling in, Joe, and we appreciate the honor of hanging out with Senator David Perdue, our two pigs side by side. What a great thing.
I will say, when Joe called in and said, I want to talk about Todd's pig and David Perdue, I was like, Todd's pig.
Yeah, it's
some
a little
questions.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not a literal, like a pet pig.
No. It's actually it's a wooden.
People have those as pets now, little teacup pigs.
Like a little, I know. I would, you know what I would do though? I would.
They're really smart. They're smarter than a dog.
Are they
apparently.
Tasty though? That's the question. Oh, so.
Yeah, you couldn't eat bacon around them. That would be awkward.
Yeah, that would just be weird. That would be weird. All right. So, look, we got to take a break here, and we are going to reset. We've got some major stories to talk about. By the way, Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be here. Also, Governor Mike Huckabee. And we're going to check in live at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Some people are actually listening to the radio show as they're marching in the March for Life. We're going to be talking with some of our friends from Liberty University who are marching. And we want to hear from you as well. Last night, before I went to bed, I posted an item on our Facebook fan page. I wasn't quite sure how much of a response it would get, but the response it received leads me to believe we've got a big problem in this country that a lot of people are not talking about. Hundreds, and by this point it may be thousands of you, sent me photographs that you have taken in your local supermarkets, your local big box stores, your local stores. And it's a very concerning situation out there as we just photo after photo after photo of empty store shelves across the nation. Now, look, there may be some legitimate issues. I mean, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee, they said we were going to get, you know, a half a foot of snow. The snow never materialized, but everything in the supermarket had been ripped off the shelves. There was nothing there. But in a lot of these towns and communities, there have not been any major storm events or anything else, and they are dealing with big shortages. And I'm curious, are you starting to see that in your community? I was stunned by the number of photographs that you guys sent. That tells me there is a problem, and it's not getting better. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, hello all of you funky white boys and everybody else out there. Hope you're doing good today. Grace Baker got those Nancy Pelosi eyebrows going. They were arched. No, I'm not making, it's no, just, I'm not saying.
I have to say, you say, please don't say my eyebrows look like hers.
No, I'm just, no.
That is a big insult. I got to go back to my stylist.
Maybe I need to go stand in the corner. Jeez, Alou.
It's the eyesight.
Well, it is. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Crazy story coming out of North Penn School, the North Penn School District in Pennsylvania, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. A teacher was caught taping a mask to a child's face. It's unbelievable. Penfield Middle School. Parents are just, they're furious. And the school district is apologizing, but the parents want the teacher punished. They say the teacher has no business taping anything to anybody's face. And it's not just there. Our good friend Michelle Malkin out in Colorado, Colorado Springs, says they're doing the exact same thing at the schools and the schools there in that school district. And even here in Memphis, Tennessee, Germantown, which is a very affluent, very conservative area, and you've got parents that are fighting mad because some of their kids who have not worn masks are actually being sent to in-school suspension. And the school district refused to let parents say anything, so guess what they did? They called the local talk radio station, the one I happen to own, KWAM. And that was the whole reason I bought this radio station, is so that people could have a voice in their community, in this great city. And a lot of people are very upset about what's happening. Cut number 10, please.
They're putting these kids alone in a room. They are telling them to get out their laptop, their iPads, and get in Schoology, which is the program where the teachers put their lesson plans, and do your work. There's no classroom instruction. On the first couple of days, they wouldn't even allow these kids to go eat in the lunchroom with the other unmasked children.
Now, we're gonna be opening up the phone lines right after the bottom of the hour news break here. And we want to hear from you moms and dads, because something exciting is happening here. Moms and dads have realized, wait a second, we've got a voice here. We have a say in all of this. Now, I know there are some people out there who say you do not have a right as a parent to have a say in what your kid learns in that school. I disagree. I think all of us do. Not even if you don't have kids, you've got a say. And the reason is very simple. Your tax dollars are paying the bills. You pay the salaries. And by and large, there are good teachers out there. But these school administrators, the school boards, this is where things have gone off the rails. And we've got to stand up and do something about it. And if we don't, well, we're screwed. But the good news here, and we're starting to see this in places like Pennsylvania and Colorado, Virginia, and now Germantown, Tennessee, moms and dads are fighting back. And that's what we've got to do. All right, we're going to be opening up the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, check out the website, folks, toddstearns.com. Wow, do we have some great stuff for you there. Our free podcast, the free newsletter, great resources for you as we take back America. We'll be right back. Happy New Year, friends. 2022 is going to be a critical year for America and for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, along with their nearly 2 million members, like me. The fight to stop out-of-control spending in the president's Build Back Better scheme is far from over. Congress is plotting more legislation that could hurt our seniors, and the midterm elections will be a battle for freedom versus socialism. Unlike liberal groups, AMAC is America's conservative action-oriented 50-plus organization fighting hard every day in Washington and across the nation for our seniors. I'm urging you to choose AMAC now. You'll receive all the great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, and your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/Todd. Again, that's amac.us/Todd to become an AMAC member now. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, I want to play some audio, but we're going to go right to the phones. Hang tight if you're on the line here. I want to play some audio because you need to understand the mindset of the left in this country. And it's not just coming from school boards. I mean, we've heard it from the Biden administration, where you've actually had members of the Biden administration say you, mom and dad, have no right to tell that school what they can and cannot teach your kids. This is a former MSNBC anchor. I want you to hear what she said yesterday.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
So there you go. Once you turn your kids over, that's it. And honestly, folks, that's the problem. You want to know why our country is going to hell in a handbasket? It's not because of conservatives. It's not because of the Make America Great Again crowd. No. The reason why is that we have turned our kids. We've just dropped the kids off at the public school, and that's where the indoctrination has taken place. That's why we have seen such a rapid shift in the culture over a very short amount of time. The radicalization is happening inside the public school classroom. All right, as promised, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Laurie is on the line from Germantown, Tennessee. Laurie, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Tim. I really appreciate you allowing us to speak. That clip is not only enraging, but it absolutely highlights the exact story. It's a story of government overreach. Somewhere along the line, our elected leaders decided that they could make better decisions, better choices for our children. And not only could they make those choices better, they should do those better choices. That they had the right to do those better choices, in quotes. But only parents have those rights. And I read in an article Jessica Baumgartner wrote, the pandemic didn't cause this. Our government our educational systems, and the media caused this. They inflamed fear. They fed this beast that hasn't done anything but make a toxic culture in our school system and in just the ability to parent.
Yeah, and Laurie, that's, you know, and this goes back to, I mean, it goes back decades. I mean, this is not something that just happened overnight. And large, we've seen moms and dads. Now, I'm 54, and I remember back when I was growing up, moms were especially involved in the local public school, and there would be a monthly, you know, a couple of moms would bring cupcakes, and, you know, you would bring the Gideons in, and all the little kids would get a Bible. Those things are not happening anymore, Laurie, and I think that we're worse off because of that.
Oh, I tell you, we were allowed to do that maybe 10 years ago as a young parent. I was able to have lunch with my young kindergarten through third grade children, but they have slowly and methodically pushed us out of the classrooms. They don't want us to know what the curriculum that they are teaching, and they don't give us the opportunity.
And Laurie, that's the red flag, Laurie. And that's why the school board did not want you or any other parents to be able to speak. What they didn't count on was a news talk radio station that would allow people a platform to speak. And I guarantee you the phones lit up over there at the school board. And we can only hope that there's a price to pay for all these school board members in the fall when election cycle rolls around.
I guarantee that will happen, and it's already happening.
Good. Well, Laurie, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening to our flagship radio station, KWAM. Let's go to Kristen, who is also calling from Germantown, Tennessee, listening on KWAM. Hi, Kristen. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Thank you so much for giving us a voice to just really let everybody know that what is happening in Germantown is not exclusive to Germantown. Now, Germantown has been especially egregious in their approach to masking our children, but it goes way beyond masking, and it goes way beyond Germantown. This is happening, like you said, nationwide. And I think one of the great things, if you could possibly point to one good thing about COVID, is that when these kids were home and they were doing school at home, we saw what they were being taught, and we saw the kind of garbage that was being put into our kids' head, and it really woke a lot of us up. I know I am guilty of believing that the school system had my child's best interest at heart, and I have discovered very recently that they do not. They do not have your child's best interest at heart. They don't even have your interest as a parent best interest at heart. They don't even allow you to make choices for your children. And so we here in Germantown, we're fed up, and we are ready to take back the schools. But we also want to get the message out to other people to really start looking at what they are telling your children, what they are feeding into your children's brains every day, and how they are indoctrinating your children. And basically, they're hitting our children up against us, the parents.
What do you mean by that? You say they're pitting your kids against the parents. What do you mean by that?
So the parents have certain morals that they try to, teach their children. We tell them don't live in fear. We don't believe in just simple things like masking, but then a broader topic of conversation and how we feel that in order to be successful, you live your life in a certain way. And then the teachers, when they go into the classrooms, they basically are telling the kids, no, that's not correct. And the kids are coming home and telling us parents that this is what they're being taught. And it is absolutely opposite of what we're trying to teach in the household. So we're spending all this time undoing some of this damage that's being done to our kids during the school day. And it's exhausting. And so when we try to go to the board to tell them that we want parental choice, they don't let us speak. And we can't seem to get that message across to them. So we were pushing really hard here in Germantown to really get that message across and get the board to understand that because we elected you doesn't mean that we hand over our kids for you to raise.
And Kristen, and that is a great word. And Kristen, all you need to do is look at what happened in the Commonwealth of Virginia, where what really was a local school board issue became a statewide issue that ultimately led to the election of the first Republican governor in a very long time and a complete overhaul of the state government there in Virginia. And so I think it is a word of warning to lawmakers that if you continue down this path, there will be a price to pay. And it's also an encouragement to moms and dads like yourself, Kristen, that if you take a stand and you get other people to stand alongside of you, you will be able to facilitate change in your school district. So, Kristen, I want you to promise you're going to keep us updated on all of this. And,
oh, absolutely.
And it's nice to know that, and again, this goes for, I mean, we've got a million people listening to this radio station around the nation right now, and it's a great reminder for you that your local talk radio station can be a powerful force in your community. So if they try to silence you, call your local radio station. Kristen, thanks for the call. Let's go to Central Arkansas. Steve hanging out with us today. Steve, how are you?
Just fine, Todd. You said something a while ago that is starting to kind of hit a sore spot with me, and you said, I know there's a lot of good teachers out there. I'm hearing that a lot. Good teachers, good law enforcement, good healthcare workers. I think to be rated a good one, you need to be speaking up more. If you are helping enforce these, some of the things that are going on and do some of the things, even though you don't agree with them, I don't rate you as a good teacher or a good whatever. If nothing else, you're an enabler. I mean, I have to believe if all the teachers that disagreed with what our teacher unions and educational leaders are doing would stand up and call it for what it is and start refusing to do it, it would come to an end pretty quick. But if you're just doing it, if you just keep doing it because that's your job and you don't want to stir anything up, you're an enabler. You're not a good teacher.
No, look, I do believe, I mean, when you look at the country as a whole, Steve, and I think that there are, especially in the smaller school districts where you do have parental involvement, I think there are good teachers. I think about the school teacher out in Virginia, Loudoun, I believe it was Loudoun County or Fairfax County, who stood up before the school board and said, I refuse to comply with this pronoun nonsense. God made male and female. I respect teachers like that, and that's who I'm talking about. But you're right. By and large, they're all corrupt. They're all woke. And if we do not step in and clean house, we will not be able to take back the country. But, Steve, I'm encouraged today. Not maybe it's because it's Friday and I'm hopeful and I feel good, but I feel good because we are starting to see parents all over America rise up and take back their schools. And that's what needs to happen if we're going to save this country. Steve, I've got to run. Appreciate the phone call. Folks, you've heard the reports. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made up to $30 million in stock trading on big tech companies like Google. And how can we forget about the politicians? We've been talking about this, flouting the China virus rules and regulations while pushing for lockdowns. Well, if you're sick and tired of the hypocrisy, you've got to watch Newsmax TV. They are exposing the fakes, the phonies, the frauds like Pelosi, AOC, Chucky Schumer. Watch Newsmax's great special tonight, Exposing the Hypocrites, 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Get this, over the weekend, they carried President Trump's rally. Nobody else did that, not even Fox News. And Newsmax crushed the competition. They had a larger audience than CNN and MSDNC combined. I mean, that's how many people are now watching Newsmax. Folks, you can get it on your cable channel. You can also do what I did and download the Newsmax app. That way you'll be able to watch all of the Newsmax programming, including yours truly, who was on Chris Salcedo's show yesterday. So again, Newsmax, it is real news for real people. You know, if you're like me, it seems like winter always puts an extra strain on your immune system. And that's why I rely on Immuno 150. Did you know that most foods contain no more than 15 minerals? That's it.
and it's because of a lack of minerals in today's topsoil. But Immuno 150 was formulated specifically with 70 plant minerals along with 80 other nutrients designed to improve your health. Look, let me just read the label for a second here. All right, it's got vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, chromium, 150 in all. Over the past 2 years, we've all been concerned about building a strong immune system. And that's why I'm such a big fan of Immuno 150. It helps me fight against all sorts of sickness. So supercharge your health with Immuno 150. Go to Immuno150.com/Todd, or you can call 888-306-8855. That's 888-306-8855. And that website again, Immuno150.com/Todd. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. A lot going on. Wow, what a sad day. Meatloaf passed away. And, you know, I interviewed him years ago when I was at Fox News Channel, and just the nicest guy. I mean, just the nicest guy. And great music, great entertainer. And he was also very gracious about, where else did we, I think he performed at the RNC when Mitt Romney was, that would have been down in Tampa. Meatloaf performed, and the Oak Ridge Boys, who are just, you know, great fellows. As a matter of fact, a couple of those guys actually listen to the show on a regular basis. And so we appreciate those guys. But it's really sad that Meatloaf died. And you know how this works. You know, whenever somebody dies, like, they're always three, right? So it's, you had what, Betty White and, you had John Madden. And there was somebody
Bob,
else.
Bob Saget.
Oh, Bob Saget. Yeah, that's right, Bob Saget. And now you've got, you had Meatloaf. And then just a few minutes ago, we learned that Louis Anderson, the comedian, died. Louis Anderson just died. So our friend Jeff Stein over at KXEL posted, he says, who's number three?
Oh, no.
All I know is I'm feeling good today.
Let's just protect Dolly Parton, Harrison Ford. I've got a few people.
What?
I'm like, I Harrison Ford's one of my favorite actors. Please, no, protect him.
Wrap hasn't
him
he gone woke? Isn't he a leftist?
I don't care. He's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's good actor. He was Indiana Jones.
That is true.
He's great.
He was good in Indiana Jones.
And oh yeah, well, Robert Pattinson's not old, but protect him too, please.
Who is that?
The new Batman.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Was he one of those vampire things back in the day?
Yeah, in the Twilight Zone.
Okay, that was it. That's where I know that name from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of, well, that's really not speaking of vampires.
I was about to say, how are you pivoting this?
So anyway, our sympathy to Meatloaf. By the way, I want to throw a trivia question out. What's Meatloaf's real name? What is Meatloaf's real name? If you know, we're going to hook you up with a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. That is my new book. 844-747-8868 if you know a Meatloaf's real name. I want to play some audio from the White House. Man, they are really nervous about Joe Biden. The comms staff, after that disaster of a press conference, they're shouting down reporters now, not allowing any reporters to ask unauthorized questions. Cut number four.
So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I think what we're going to do is thank the press very much right now and ask folks to step out. And for folks watching by Zoom, it'll be another, you know, moment or two, and then we'll pick up as folks collect their things.
Yeah, they're not letting anybody ask any unauthorized questions of President Biden. And probably with good reason. I mean, he's all over the place. By the way, here's the president now backpacking on his support of Ukraine. Cut number six.
Let me start by first saying a few words about Russia and Ukraine. I've been absolutely clear with President Putin. He has no misunderstanding. If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin. But there is no doubt, let there be no doubt at all, that if Putin makes this choice, Russia will pay a heavy price. is also not the only scenario we need to be prepared for. Russia has a long history of using measures other than overt military action to carry out aggression. And paramilitary tactics, so-called gray zone attacks, and actions by Russian soldiers not wearing Russian uniforms. Remember when they moved into the Donbass, the little green men? They weren't, they were dealing with those who were Russian sympathizers and said that Russia had nobody in there. Well, that includes little green men in uniforms as well as cyber attack. We have to be ready to respond to these as well in a decisive and united way with a range of tools at our disposal. The Ukrainian foreign minister said this morning that he's confident of our support and resolve, and he has a right to be.
All right, there you have it. It's sort of hit or miss with this guy. The Ukrainians don't trust Biden, and I don't blame them one bit. Now, the question is, if the Russians do invade Ukraine, what should we do? You have conservatives out there. And, you know, I call Tucker Carlson a conservative. He's really more of a libertarian with conservative leanings. But Tucker Carlson is among those saying, yeah, we don't need to be invading anybody. We don't need to be invading anybody. Let the Ukrainians handle this for themselves. What do you say about that, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Do we go to war if Russia invades Ukraine? We'll be right back. Mike Huckabee, Jim Jordan, coming up next.
I'm a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the big show. Good to have you with us. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Hey, ToddStearns.com, we have got some great stuff for you over at the store, including a brand new batch of our Daily Biscuit books, Devotions with a Drawl. Governor Mike Huckabee, by the way, says it's a buttermilk biscuit for the soul. And while you are there, get yourself one of our Blessed Not Bitter coffee mugs, and it's great. You can drink a hot, piping hot cup of community coffee. Pecan praline is my favorite, while you're reading the devotion book. Hey, real quick, before we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we offered up a trivia question, and I flat ran out of time. We are mourning the passing of the great singer Meat Loaf. By the way, our buddy Travis Tritt, who listens to the show, want to give Travis a big shout-out, posted a photograph of Meat Loaf and Travis were hanging out together. That's grammatically correct. So anyway, we wanted to know Meat Loaf's real name. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Tracy on WDUN. All right, Tracy, what was the name of Meat Loaf? What was his real name?
His real name was Marvin Lee Aday.
Yes, indeedy. It's just overwhelming to think that he was in his 70s, Tracy. That really surprised me.
I know. It's kind of aging me, myself, because I kind of grew up with Meatloaf.
Yeah, same here. So, and all sorts of different versions of how he got his name, but what he told People magazine was when he was born, he was bright red, and his dad said he looked like a 9-pound meatloaf, so...
I heard that this morning, and he said that he had it put on his little crib.
On his crib. Exactly. Well, Tracy, we're going to put you on hold. I'm going to send you a signed copy of the Daily Biscuit book, and thank you for listening to us. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee. And I'm curious, I mean, you've met just about everybody out there, Gov. Have you ever, did you ever run into Meatloaf out there?
Actually, we were friends, Todd. It may be a surprise to a lot of people, but he first appeared on my Fox show years ago. And then his last televised performance was on my TBN show, and I've tweeted links to all three of the songs that he did. He's really an amazing guy, an incredible talent. I'm just heartbroken at his loss, but he and I have texted each other every week or two for quite some time. You know, we're about as different as day and night. There's not two more opposite people in the world in some ways, but the thing I loved about him, it's like it was said of Nathaniel in the Bible, in him there is no guile. In other words, there was no pretense. He was who he was, and he was a wonderful human being. And, you know, I just loved being around him because he was funny. And the interview that I did with him when he was on the show in September is one that you ought to see because he talks about the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. He was a high school student, went out and met the president at Love Field, and then he skipped school that day, and he and a couple of his buddies decided that they would just go out there where the speech was being.
Oh, we lost Governor Huckabee again. I'm not sure what happens here, Grace Baker, but let's try to get the governor back on. As he was telling that story, we're going to post links to the interview and the song that Meatloaf performed there on Huckabee's show. And if you haven't watched Huckabee's show over on TBN, you don't know what you're missing. Honestly, it's so much better than the show he did back when he was on Fox News Channel. So you got to check that out every Saturday on TBN. I think we've got the governor back with us. Governor, sorry about that, but you were telling us about Meatloaf and JFK.
Yes, he met JFK at Love Field when the president came in that day, and then later, he and a couple of his buddies had skipped school, and they were going to go maybe just hang out in the parking lot where he was making his speech. A Secret Service agent stood in front of his car with a badge, commandeered his car, drove it to Parkland Hospital with Meatloaf and his two buddies. They were at Parkland Hospital when the motorcade came in and when the president's body with Jackie Kennedy arrived at Parkland. But to hear him tell this story, it's all, again, you can watch it online. But it is an absolutely fascinating. I said, Meat, you're like Forrest Gump. You just happen to show up in these historical moments. But who would have ever thought that Meatloaf was one of the very first people to be a witness to the assassination of John F. Kennedy?
That I have never heard that story. And, you know, going back to something you said, though, about being different night and day, but finding some commonality, common ground. I mean, that's what's missing in this country these days, Governor. Everybody's so polarized, you know, and I can't tell you how many friends I've lost over, you know, just voting for Donald Trump for president.
Well, I think that's part of what we are missing. And the thing that we had in common was love for music. You know, we didn't get into a lot of political stuff. I think, quite frankly, he was probably a lot more conservative than his fans would have tolerated. But the truth is, I just liked him because he was an honest guy. I love people who are earthy, who are real, and who don't pretend to be something different when they're around me than when they're around somebody else. And that's what I loved about him. You know, people said, isn't he kind of vulgar sometimes? I said, yes, but that's who he is. And he loved me for who I am. I loved him for who he was. And because of that, we really did have a wonderful, deeply personal relationship that most people would have been shocked to realize.
You see, I think that's a terrific story. And again, Governor, we're going to post links to the performance that he did on TBN. And that's one of the reasons I love your show. It's just, first of all, it's a lot of fun, and you get to hear these stories that, you know, haven't been told or haven't been made known publicly. And that's what I love about the program.
Well, I appreciate that. And by the way, when he was on our show, it was the first time he had been on stage in 6 years. He had been battling some serious health problems, issues with his back and his hip and other respiratory issues. And So, you know, he was nervous about being on stage again because he hadn't done it in 6 years, and he was so afraid it might not go well. Well, it was gangbuster wonderful. He was amazing. And the audience loved him, and they were just cheering. And, you know, I could tell, I could see it in his face, that he was so excited to be back on stage to hear the applause of fans once again. So, you know, I'm going to cherish the fact that he had that performance, both on television and in the theater, to just know that his fans loved him and the uniqueness, because he was one unique character and an incredibly gifted artist.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee. And again, folks, we will post links on the live show blog to those performances on the Huckabee Show. You know, Governor, turning to politics, I mean, this has just been a disaster, not just for the Biden administration, but for America. And I'm wondering, out of that press conference, was there one thing that was perhaps the most concerning for you?
Well, I think it was when he said that no president in American history had ever had as great a year in his first year as he did. And I'm thinking, wow. What planet is he on? Because it ain't Earth, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's I don't get it, and I know that there, you know, the Democrats like the revisionist history. You know, there's no such thing as absolute truth, but the reality is, Governor, we had thousands of our listeners sending us the photos on our Facebook page of the empty store shelves. They can't find basic necessities in a lot of towns across America. The prices are going through the roof. It's absolutely insane. And for the Biden administration to turn a blind eye, if I'm running for Congress and I heard that Biden was going to be out on the campaign trail, I'd be running as fast as I could the other way if I was a Democrat.
Well, and they already are. Look at Stacey Abrams. She didn't even show up when he went down to Georgia. You know, I thought it was kind of like Charlie Daniels' song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And, you know, it's like Biden goes to Georgia and nobody wants to be seen with him. I mean, that was embarrassing. This is the person, Stacey Abrams, who's the big election reform person. He goes down there to insult half of America and call us all a bunch of racists because we don't believe in his power grab that will make it easier to cheat in an election. And she doesn't even show up. She doesn't want to be seen with it.
No, you've got a great point there. Real quick, another busy news cycle today. Of course, thousands marching for life in Washington, D.C. And you've got the Biden administration just a few moments ago. I want to play this audio from Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, talking about abortion.
We're deeply committed to making sure everyone has access to care, and we will defend it with every tool we have. That includes continuing to work with Congress to pass the Women's Health Protection Act and codify this fundamental right into law.
And she goes on to say that that means an abortion right up to the day of birth.
Gosh, that's just sad. You know, the thing that kills me is when they talk about this being reproductive health, women's health. There's nothing healthy about an abortion. A woman has a very risky surgical procedure and a baby dies. I don't see where the joy in that is. I just don't. And it's tragic. And I'm praying to God that it's not just that the law will change. I'm praying that the hearts of people will change. And they will look at this and say, my gosh, this is barbaric. This is not what civilized societies do. And that we end this national nightmare.
Well, Governor, before we go, I haven't asked you in a while how Sarah's campaign's going. We have a lot of Arkansas listeners. How are things going out there on the campaign trail?
Absolutely wonderful. She just announced her last quarter's fundraising. She's almost at $13 million raised, which is more than anyone has ever raised for any race in Arkansas in history, and that includes the entirety of the race. And she hasn't even filed yet, which will happen sometime, I guess, next month. The primary is not until May, and the general election November. Now, she's not taking it for granted. She knows there's only two ways to run, as Senator David Pryor from Arkansas often said, and he's exactly right. You can either run unopposed or scared. Those are the only two ways you can run.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Governor, what's coming up on the big show this weekend?
We've got a very special segment with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, and we're going to be talking extensively with him about the FBI raid on his apartment, the real threat to the First Amendment to everybody if this craziness with him doesn't stop. And I'm very excited that he'll be here because his organization has broken news that the mainstream media just didn't have the guts to talk about.
That's good stuff. All right, Governor, always good having you on the program. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, that's Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody. Again, you can watch his show, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I had not heard that story about Meatloaf. But again, you'll be able to watch the final performance he did on TV over on our live show blog. All right, here's the deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to the phones. Have a couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, folks, coming up a little bit later on, our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be here. How'd you like to see him as the next Speaker of the House? So a chance to say hello and talk to Congressman Jordan. Also, we're going to be speaking to some Liberty University students out there at the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and we'll be taking your calls as well. Let's go right to the phones, by the way. Steve in Morehead City, North Carolina, wants to weigh in. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Well, I always listen to your show every day, and something today that, yes, it's a wonderful show. I support liberty, and you hit on something that touches for me, because that cataract surgery, just don't sweat that. I had double cataract surgery, but the thing is, not because of the surgery, and don't get flipped out by this, I've lost my eyesight because of the disease. And your book is a wonderful book. And I pass that book around in our community. And it always comes back with some of the pages, you know, the corners turned down, where people will see something that hits them. And I thought, you know what? If you could get your publisher to print that in Braille, that would be a wonderful thing. Because that is, you are spot on. It's a great book.
Well, thank you, Steve. I know we have versions of the book available. I think we have audio versions of the book available, and we'll pass along that suggestion. We'll see if they might be able to do a Braille version, but we certainly do have the audio versions of all of the books, and those are available, toddstearns.com or really wherever you buy your books. So thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening to the program and the encouragement on the cataracts. I'm not all that worried about it now. I was initially. I think my bigger concern is, am I going to be able to, you know, jump through all the hoops to get to the surgery? Jeez, Lou. All right, let's go to Mike in Texas. Mike, what's going on?
Hello, Todd. I'd like to first thank Grace for taking my call. And I told her that I've got a very scary scenario where Hillary Clinton could become president without being elected. Now, my understanding how this would work, if the VP, Kamala Harris, vacates the office of president, then Biden has the responsibility for selecting the replacement. But that replacement has to be voted on by both houses and passed by a majority. So this would work if, obviously, she would be nominated if they voted along party lines and the House, with the Democrats controlling that. But here's an interesting scenario in which I'm not sure of, which has never happened, as far as I know, in U.S. history, is that when it comes to the Senate, it's a 50-50 split. So if they vote upon party lines, it would be 50-50. So who becomes the tiebreaker? Now, if you go through the line of succession, if the president leaves and the vice president takes over, the next position in line would be Nancy Pelosi, because she's Speaker of the House. So I don't know if she would be acting VP or assume those are possibilities.
No, no, Mike, let me jump in here. No, that's not necessary. So they could go for a while without having a vice president. And was it Nixon with Agnew when Agnew had to resign? There was a little bit of a lag there, but you are right that the House and the Senate have to approve. That's why if this is going to happen, and Mike, it is, I mean, that is a reasonable scenario. It's going to happen before the midterm elections because the Republicans, I mean, let's get real. You think the Republicans are going to name Hillary Clinton vice president? I don't think so.
Yeah, but if this were to happen where Nancy Pelosi was acting VP, she breaks the tie, therefore Hillary gets in as VP, and then Biden resigns, she becomes president.
Oosh. Well, anything's possible. I suspect, though, that Biden is not going to be finishing his term in office. Mike, got to run. They're going to cut us off here. The computer will. 844-747-8868. Hang tight, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, first hour of the program, phones sort of exploded with this these stories all over America of schools that are now literally taping face masks to the faces of children. I can assure you that would not have happened when I was growing up. Because there would have been a come to Jesus meeting at that school. But look, the teachers are deranged. These school districts and their China virus policies are unhinged. And as we heard from an MSNBC anchor just a little while ago, that you parents, you moms and dads, have absolutely no right to educate your children.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
So you need to understand something here. This is the general thought process of most of the leftist educators in America. They don't believe that your children belong to you. This is why you see teachers that are helping kids sign up for gender reassignment surgery. This is why you have public schools that are helping young girls go out and get abortions without notifying mom and dad. Because the school districts believe that once your child enters that public school classroom, you have no rights as a parent anymore. Do you buy into this concept, ladies and gentlemen, that the community owns your children, not you? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to the phones. Harvey, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station in Germantown, Tennessee. Now, Harvey, I understand that you've got some observations about what's been happening in your school district.
Hi, Todd. Yes, I enjoy listening to your show, and thanks for taking my call. I'm a concerned parent, you know, in the Germantown School District. And when we got the surprise mask mandate again, it had been taken off for a while and then brought back. One of the things that really infuriated me was most of the school board and certainly our superintendent, Jason Manuel, refused to make themselves available. So I understand, you know, the Monday after when they made this surprise thing that maybe the supervisor wouldn't have time to see us, but you would think he would have time to say, let's sit down for a meeting next Thursday, next Friday. Would not take a call, went to voicemail. You know, after a certain amount of time, some of our concerned parents went to the district office and just sat in the foyer and said, we need to talk to him, if only for a moment. They refused. They told the office manager there, said, you're trespassing, and called the Germantown Police Department. So, you know, as a parent, that really makes me feel helpless, that they're going to put this on my child and give me no voice whatsoever, not even 60 seconds to step out of his office and say, guys, I know that you're concerned, but we're concerned too. Let me talk to you 2 days from now when I get caught up with all this. Nothing, just stonewall. And, you know, as a parent, I really dislike being in that position.
And Harvey, here's, and this is what it was surprising to me about all of this, because I happen to live in Germantown, and I know it to be a very conservative city. People move there for a reason. It is a conservative place. It is a safe place. And they, you know, moms and dads expect they're going to be able to send their kids to school and not get indoctrinated. But the reality, Harvey, is that the people in charge of the Germantown school system, and this applies to a lot of schools around the country, they consider you as a parent to be the enemy, not a partner in the education process, but an enemy who is not to be trusted. And you're to be shut out of the process. That's why the superintendent didn't want to come out of his office and they called the cops on you guys.
Well, I certainly felt shut out at that point and felt like I had no voice. And, you know, we had to organize ourselves and say, we do have a voice and we are going to push back and we're going to keep on until something happens.
Good for you. And Harvey, you do have a voice. Your local radio station, KWAM, the morning show host, Tim Van Horn. Do not underestimate the power of radio. And we are not afraid of calling out these people. We do it every day on this radio program. And we're going to hold our elected leaders accountable, whether it's your town or somebody else's town or city. It doesn't matter where it is in America. You know, we're going to stand alongside you guys.
Todd, I appreciate you doing that, and thanks for your time.
Glad to do it. Harvey, appreciate the call. And folks, seriously, this is why we do what we do. How many times have we, well, we were talking about the football coach, Joe Kennedy. We have been telling people about his story out in Bremerton, Washington for years now. And now his case is getting heard before the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, that's a big deal. So we, you know, this is why our radio program is important. We don't want to just spend 3 hours yelling at folks. We want to be able to bring issues and stories and provide things for you to do that can make a difference, that can make an impact all over America. By the way, speaking of that, I have heard from so many of you who have already made the switch over to Patriot Mobile. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And we told you about what AT&T did. They're dropping One American News from DirecTV. And they do that because they know they're never gonna suffer a consequence. They can silence conservative television networks and there's no price to pay. Well, I say that's a load of hooey. And you do have an opportunity. And I would love for every person listening to this radio program, if you are an AT&T customer, consider making the switch to Patriot Mobile. They share our beliefs. They are a Christian-owned wireless carrier. And they donate money to organizations that fight for causes we care about. And by the way, if you switch right now, use my promo code Todd. You're going to get free activation and a free gift. And if you're a veteran or first responder, they're going to give you even bigger discounts. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Be sure to use my promo code, Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That is a U.S.-based customer service team, so the people speak English. That's great. Give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. All right, I want to play some audio for you. We've been trying to figure out and make sense of this mainstream media coverage about this alleged dust-up between Governor Ron DeSantis and President Trump. Sean Hannity addressed this on his radio program a couple of days ago and said, look, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, last night, Trump was on Hannity's show, and he cleared up and, quite frankly, smacked around the mainstream media for spewing lies.
Let me ask you, a friend of mine was with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis the other day, and had a private conversation, but it wasn't confidential. And he asked if there is any conflict or bickering between you and him, and he said absolutely not. He said it's total BS. Is he right?
Well, he is right. I get along great with Ron. Ron was very good on the Mueller hoax. He was right up front along with Jim Jordan and all of the rest of them. They were fantastic. The Republicans really stuck together, and it was a great thing. And Ron was one of them, and Ron wanted to run, and I endorsed him, and that helped him greatly. And he went on, and he's done a really terrific job in Florida. And I think, you know, Ron has been very good. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. It's totally fake news. I think Ron said last week, he said it very publicly, he says, the press is never going to get in the middle of my friendship with Donald Trump. We're not going to do that stuff. And he said it very strongly. I thought it was very interesting, actually, and very nice. But he said that, and I agree with him on that 100%. No, I have a very good relationship with Ron and intend to have it for a long time.
All right, there you go. You heard it, and again, it's a reminder, when the mainstream media reports about Donald John Trump, do not believe it. Unless it's coming out of the mouth of the president. If you see the story on our website, then you know it is factually accurate. But everybody else, yeah, forget it. Just forget it. Unbelievable. They're terrified of Donald Trump. And folks, they know where Biden's administration is going. They know that Trump, and by the way, the president was asked about that. Are you going to run in 2024? Do we have that? We got that audio. Let's take a listen.
Mr. President, we appreciate it. Are you running in 2024? We have 15 seconds.
Well, I think you'll be happy, but we'll let you know at a little bit later date. But I think you'll
I saved
be
that
happy.
For the last 15 seconds because I knew you were not going to answer that question, and I knew I'd waste time asking you that question.
You know, we've had the president on the show, what, two times, three times? And then we sat down and had a beautiful 90-minute conversation with the president at Mar-a-Lago. And he still would not answer. So, but he's in his own time, in his own time. Let's see how the president does out on the campaign trail. Let's see how the Republicans do in the midterms. And I think we're going to know. But the good news here is, and I am glad, and the president needed to do this, as did Ron DeSantis. We cannot appear to be divided. And it's important when these horrible news stories come out, even though they are fake news stories, you've got to address it and put down the lies. Otherwise, it becomes the perception becomes reality, and that's the fight we've been having at Wikipedia. You know, my Wikipedia page, I'm actually banned from my own Wikipedia page. They write all sorts of lies, and there's nothing we can do, no legal recourse. And the reality is that during my 15 years at Fox News, they would never allow us to speak out and refute the flat-out lies that were being spewed about us. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of it. Speaking of horrible, horrible people, have you noticed how woke sports reporters have gotten? I mean, they're almost as bad, if not worse, than a lot of political reporters. So Penny Hardaway is the head coach of the Memphis Tigers basketball team. Very successful professional basketball player. Great, you know, great guy. And they're having a rough season. All right. And the press corps in Memphis is really radical. I mean, they are leftist and they hate Hardaway and they give him a hard time. And one of them is a reporter by the name of Jeff Calkins. And he asked Hardaway after a tough loss last night, Do you think that he could get the job done? And here's how Hardaway responded.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of f***ed up sometimes when it comes to me, we don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17 to 18 and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too f***ing hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these bullshit articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor.
Now, so here's what you need. You need look, I get it. He shouldn't have used the language. But you can only push a man so far, right? I mean, it's like they just attack, attack, attack. Now, Grace, you know this guy, Jeff Calkins. Is that right?
He works for the Daily Memphian. Don't get me wrong. He's very talented. He's good at what he does. But when I worked for a Grizzlies blog and interacted with him, he wasn't exactly the friendliest guy. Like, everyone else was pretty nice to me, you know, because I was the new kid. He would be like, he wouldn't give me the time of day.
So
I know it kind of.
When you look, they're having a crappy season. We get that.
They are. Oh, no doubt. No excuses there.
But the press corps, did they deserve what happened here?
Ooh, a little bit. And let me just say why. For one thing, I think this goes back like a month or two from this incident because the Tigers had an outbreak of COVID on the team. And Penny Hardaway was.
China virus.
Yes. Was hammered by the local media for not basically forcing his players to all be vaccinated. He basically told them, like, it's your business.
So that's why they're coming after him.
I think that this, what I'm getting at, it goes way back. So there's been a rift there for a couple of months, and that was a big one. And now this. Again, I don't approve of the language. I think he should have kept his cool a little bit. And look, dude, he's having a bad season. But I get what he's saying.
Can you imagine, though, having to deal with those jackals every single day?
Oh, I used to be in that room. I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just horrible. So, look, I mean, you got to clean up the language, Coach. But you know what?
You got to clean up the team a little bit, but.
We get it. We get it.
I do. I kind of feel for
him. Look, if he told the players, if he did not force the players to be vaccinated, that's why they're attacking him. Because, you know, all these guys are leftists.
Oh, they hammered him when that happened.
Jackals.
If you go back.
Yeah. I'm not going to say a jackass, but, you know, they certainly, jackals, definitely. All right, got to take a break. Hang tight. Hang in there, Coach. Don't worry about those sleazoids. We'll be right back. Love, 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 love American style. I love this song. Grace, turn your microphone on. I'm going to teach you something. They don't teach you guys about the old school classics of TV land. Here we go now. And on a star-spangled night, my love. My love. Come on,
I am
Grace.
Watching a 90s show.
Are you not singing? You're not singing along here.
Well, I don't want to get calls from angry listeners.
What? Come on.
Because my singing voice sucks.
You have a lovely singing voice. Hold on, here's the chorus. Let's sing along together now. Come on, Grace.
The reason I wasn't in the church choir.
Love American style.
American style.
It's me and you. All that to say, that was the intro.
What was the point of that?
No, there is a point to this. The point is the audio we're about to play. If you are eating a ham sandwich, or if you're listening to us on KPEL or KROF down in Cajun country, if you're enjoying a po' boy, put that po' boy down, put down the boudin, because it's going to upset your stomach a little bit. It'll make you a little nauseous. But I want you to hear the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris going at it.
Kamala, I love you. You always have my back. You're really amazing. You're the best partner I could imagine.
Oh, my God. He sounds drunk. What?
He does.
What the hell was that?
And this was like a virtual meeting. So it's like, you can't see, but it's like, maybe, does he have a drink beside him?
He sounds a little, sounds a little tipsy.
Tipsy, yep.
I mean, to say that, you would need to be tipsy. So again, this was at the start of a DNC meeting just a little while ago.
Kamala, I love you. You always have my back. You're really amazing. You're the best partner I could imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
A little love fest there.
Want to rub my hairy legs, Kamala?
Ew.
You know that's what he was going to ask.
Ew.
They had to cut him off. I'm wondering how Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden,
that's a good point.
She feels about that. You know, because she and Kamala don't, that's like oil and water.
Yeah. Then you got Doug, Kamala's husband.
Oh, is that? Doug. You always forget that guy.
I don't know why I remember
What's
his
he
name.
Like the first dude or something?
I don't know.
Isn't that
it's
weird?
It's a new one.
Yeah, you never really think about that guy.
No.
I mean, he's
just
there.
Doug. Oh, he's over there.
Is that the Secret Service guy? No, that's the husband.
That's Doug.
Allegedly. That's the husband, allegedly. So there you have it, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Now they're trying to be overly affectionate towards one another. Yeah, that's going to be good for the country. All right, got to take a break here. Hey, Jim Jordan coming up. Also checking in live at the March for Life. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we owe you an apology. And as we promised you, when we launched the program about 5 years ago, when we make a mistake on the air, we want to make sure that we correct that mistake for the record. And I want to explain what happened if you're just now joining us. A few moments ago, we played some audio, disturbing audio that came from a meeting of the Democrats when Joe Biden confessed or professed his love for his vice president. I want you to hear what happened.
Kamala, I love you. You always have my back. You're really amazing. You're the best partner I could imagine.
Now, apparently, when that happened, Grace Baker, we're getting some angry letters from our listeners around the country. Apparently, there have been many, many people who have hurled their Cheetos after hearing that that back and forth during the lunch hour.
I'm sorry, but the truth hurts sometimes. You just have to do it as journalists.
Love hurts.
Love hurts.
Love is love. Who are we to judge?
I think my favorite part of the clip is Kamala going, I do, like I wedding do, yeah. vows.
There you go. So our apologies, folks. We'll give you a fair warning next time we play something that stomach churning. Hey, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Honored to always have with us from the great state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
good to be with you, Todd. Appreciate what you do for the cause of freedom. So good to be with you.
Well, you're kind to say that. You know, Congressman, it's been a horrible, horrible year for this country.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what's about to happen. But I want to get your observations. What was the thing that really stuck out to you during that press briefing earlier this week?
We saw why the president's approval rating is at 33%. I mean, I would say there's a reason only 33% of the country approve of the job he's doing. Frankly, I'd like to meet these 33% because I don't know how anyone could approve of what he's doing. So I think that was evident in his press conference, kind of a rambling press conference and everything else. But you just look at the record, and you hate to say this because it's about our country, the greatest country ever, and the American people. And yet there's not one thing they've done right. Not one. We've talked about this before, but we went from a secure border to chaos. We went from energy independence to President Biden begging OPEC to increase production. We went from safe cities to safe streets in those cities to record levels of violent crime. We went the debacle that was the exit from Afghanistan. And probably the most important thing is the weaponization we've seen of the government against people who disagree with them, as evidenced by the DOJ and going after moms and dads at school board meetings. And of course, what they've done to the First Amendment with all the lockdown mandates and regulations. So there's nothing good. And again, that's why only 28%. I saw a poll that only 28% of the country wants him to run for re-election. So that's the real approval. It's not 33%. It's 28% is his real approval number. It's bad. And I think finally the thing that's probably the scariest takeaway is Russia and China see the same thing that you and I do.
And that's what scares me, Congressman, because that could escalate quickly, and you could end up having a world war in your hands with China, Russia, and Iran. There is a new poll out from Newsmax. Newsmax reporting this is a Trafalgar Group poll. Less than 1 in 5 support putting U.S. troops on the ground if Russia invades Ukraine. So there is not a lot of support around the country, but at the same time, we do have to live up to obligations we've made to the Ukrainians.
Yeah, but my guess is that same poll about putting troops on the ground in Ukraine was the same when President Trump was the commander in chief, and you never saw anything like we are currently witnessing with troops amassing on Ukraine, Russian troops amassing on the Ukrainian border, because they understood. You know, I don't think any American wants to be sending our troops overseas if we can avoid that. But the thing is that the takeaway is when you project strength from the Oval Office, bad guys don't do bad things.
That's right.
And that's exactly what we had under President Trump. I mean, think about the irony. I mean, they impeached President Trump for a call he had with President Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, and President Zelensky said it was a great call. He appreciates the American support. He appreciated President Trump, and yet they impeached him over that. And now here we are a few years later, and look at the situation with that very country. That to me is the irony, and it's sad, but that's the situation, because presidential. I always go back to this, Todd, and we talked about this early last year. The Secretary Blinken is meeting with his Chinese counterpart in Anchorage. The treatment Secretary of State of the United States received from his counterpart, that would never. He was dressed down. We got lectured at. That would never happen in a with Mike Pompeo in a Trump administration. They wouldn't do that. They just would not. The Chinese would not treat President Trump's administration that way. They would not treat Secretary of State Pompeo that way. And frankly, if they tried, Mike Pompeo would have got up and flipped the table over and said, you know, that's not how this works. And he'd have left the room. So that is the difference. And it has huge implications.
You know, you mentioned the border crisis. You've got the Gavin Newsom is down there looking at and it does look like just a third world condition where these gangs of people, marauding gangs, are raiding the railway cars filled with all sorts of products. And the governor's out there. Yeah, this looks like a third world country. Well, yeah, that's your policies that did that. I mean, you've got all sorts of lawlessness happening, not just in California, but all along our southern border states.
Yeah, and it's frankly it's sad, but it shouldn't surprise us. When you defund the police, you shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. When you get rid of bail, you shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. When you spend an entire summer, as the Democrat Party did in the summer of 2020, legitimizing criminal activity, and when you say that rioters and looters are actually peaceful protesters, when you spend the summer saying that, you shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. So this is the logical, unfortunately, logical end result of the left's policies, and the left now has complete control of the Democrat Party. So it's unfortunate for the American people. It's sad for the country, but it's a direct result of the bad policies, ridiculous and crazy policies in many senses, that they have.
And speaking of that, I mean, there's the report out now, and Fox News is confirming this, that the TSA signing off on a plan that would allow illegals to use their, arrest warrants to get on board jetliners?
I mean, you hate to laugh because it's so serious, but it's like, what? What are they talking about? It's just one of more of the crazy things we see from today's left. I mean, I keep coming back to the regulations and the mandates on COVID. You know, Great Britain, United Kingdom just said, we're getting rid of all this stuff. This is because think about this, Todd. Tell me what they've told us about COVID that turned out to be true. Almost everything they told us turned out to be false. Remember when Joe Biden said he had a plan, he had a federal plan? Remember when he said he was going to shut down the virus? Remember when he said, they told us for 2 years now that it didn't come from a lab. They said it wasn't gain-of-function research being done in the Chinese lab. They told us that the vaccinated can't get it. They told us that the vaccinated can't transmit it. They told us that there's no such thing as natural immunity. And that's just seven false statements they've given us. So, yet they continue to tell us you need to listen to the CDC and everything, the government. Like, what? This is the left, and it's sad, and that's why I think there's a big change coming to midterm elections.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and my hat is off to the Senate Republicans. They did their job. They held their ground.
They sure did.
You had Manchin, Sinema. You got to be proud of how the Republicans behaved this past week.
Yeah, it was good, and God bless Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin for doing what they said they would do, doing what they told their constituents back in their home states they would do, and that's a real positive. That we're not going to get this ridiculous, quote, Build Back Better plan and pass into law and exacerbate the already 40-year high inflation problem.
Congressman, a couple of days ago on the program, we just opened up the phone lines and we said, all right, let's say the Republicans take back Congress. Who would you like to see a Speaker of the House? And I mean, you're the choice of our audience here, Congressman. They would like to see you as the next Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Well, I don't want that job. I think that job is going to go to Kevin McCarthy. I think he's done a good job as in the minority. When we've been in a minority, keeping us together. What I want to do is, and I mentioned this earlier about the concern I have for what the left's doing to our fundamental liberties. If we take it back, Lord willing, I get to be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. I'm going to focus on doing the investigations that need to be done. First and foremost is the border situation. Second, of course, is the DOJ weaponizing the Department of Justice against moms and dads and this whole school board issue. And third, of course, is the origins of what, all the misinformation we've gotten from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins regarding this thing. So I want to do those investigations, and I want to stand up and protect Americans' First Amendment liberties, which are completely now under assault from the left.
But if your colleagues said you're the guy, would you accept it?
No, I don't want that job. I want Kevin McCarthy is going to be the speaker if we take it back. Now, one thing we do have to focus on is we can't get overconfident. I'm confident. We always got to be confident. I mean, that's just how you should go through life, confident, but never arrogant, never overconfident. We need to continue to do the work and point out all the crazy things the Democrats are up to. I remember in the press conference the other day with the President Biden said, what are Republicans for? And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're for safe streets. We're for actually having a border. How are you a sovereign country if you don't have a border? We're actually for affordable gas. We're actually for putting people back to work. We're actually for stopping the assault on the Constitution and the First Amendment. That's what we're for. And frankly, if you put us in power, if Republicans win the midterm elections, when we're in control of the Congress, we're going to do things to rein in big tech. We're going to pass that Section 230 change that needs to happen. We're going to do other things. We're going to push to get rid of this crazy concept where you let criminals out, bad guys out, and they do terrible things. So there's lots of things that we can focus on and show the American people we're committed to doing the things they care about.
You see, I love that. All right, Congress, no matter what happens, you're right. We got to get out there. We got to bust our butts, and we've got to make sure that we stop this Biden agenda.
Yep. Well said.
All right,
Todd. Thanks,
Congressman.
For what you do.
All right. Always good having you on the program. Congressman Jim Jordan, good guy there. So there you go. I know a lot of people say we want Jim Jordan, but Jordan says he doesn't want it, and he would rather be chairman of House Judiciary. No doubt about it, he can get a lot done there, and he's just a rock-solid guy. So whichever way it goes, it's going to be good for us. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. I have to tell you, folks, 2022, and you heard it from the congressman, it's going to be a critical year for America. And that's why I have joined AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, nearly 2 million of us. And if you are age 50 or older, you are eligible to join AMAC. They are doing an incredible job representing freedom-loving seniors in Washington, D.C. Let's get real. The midterm elections, it's going to be a battle between freedom and socialism. Now, all these other retirement groups are liberal, are radical left, not AMAC. AMAC is America's conservative, action-oriented, 50-plus organization, and I want you to consider joining AMAC today. You're going to get incredible membership benefits, including great discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, and I'm looking forward to using those discounts, Grace Baker. And your membership is going to support your values. So all you need to do is go to amac.us/Todd. That's amac.us/Todd. Again, amac.us/Todd, and become a member of AMAC today. Oh, Lord. You know what I'm doing this weekend, Grace Baker? I'm going to IKEA.
I was
going to
say getting prepped for cataract surgery.
No, well, I've got an update on that.
Okay.
If people could only see what we're doing in between the commercial breaks. You know, we have, what, four minute commercial breaks.
Oh, we make the most.
You'd be amazed. Run to the bathroom, get something to drink, check the mail. Grab a snack.
Exactly.
So I've been going back and forth with my poor cardiologist, and they're like, wait, they're just now telling us that we need to give. So anyway, everything has been sent. So fingers crossed.
Oof.
I should go under the knife or whatever they're going to do to me on Monday.
Well, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
I guess. What do I say to this?
I don't know. It's, you know, I need a drink is what I need. I need a Baptist martini.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon, you Lutherans out there. So, all right, let's go to some good news, Grace Baker.
So,
all right, I'll be able to see you, finally. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868, Germantown, Tennessee. A lot of people from my town calling in today, Grace. Let's say hello to Haley, listening to us on KWAM. Haley, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Haley, I'm doing pretty good, and I will tell you this. I was at the Kroger last night. Poor Haley, she's calling in for another reason, but she's going to hear this story. Haley, I'm at the Kroger. I go to the Kroger across from the fire station. You know the one I'm talking about in Germantown?
I do, yeah.
So I think I finally figured out that, you know, they redid everything, and that really aggravated me. But I think I finally figured out my shopping routine now, so I'm in a good mood. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that.
Poor Haley. Haley's thinking, what in the world is going on here? Haley, you are so kind to call. I know you want to weigh in on this masking issue at the local schools. Do you have kids that go to Germantown schools?
I do. I have three kids, and one is at elementary school.
I see. And how is – I'm just curious. They've really sort of kept you parents out of the loop here. Has that been a concern to you?
It's been a huge concern because to be completely honest, prior to COVID, you know, parents needed to sign a waiver or give authorization for schools to do things like administer Tylenol or apply sunblock, for example. But now all of a sudden, there's no, choice really but to mask the children. And wearing a mask is a medical device. And so it's my position that masking should be 100% parental choice. And if you choose to mask your child, great. If you don't, that's also great. But I just wanted to share an anecdote that my eldest child said to me that really was eye-opening because children are very, very perceptive. He asked me very innocently whether school is safe, and I was like, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, school is the only place where I have to wear a mask. And that really made me pause because these kids are playing, you know, in neighborhoods, on sports teams, going to church, not wearing masks at all, and the only place they're really having to wear these masks are schools. And, you know, the perception is, oh, if I have to wear a mask, it's not really safe. And it's very, very sad because I think as a society, we want to raise, you know, strong kids that persevere in the face of adversity. And the message we're sending is exactly the opposite of that.
That's a great point. Now, how old is the child that was raising that question?
He's 8.
8 years old. And you see, Haley, and that's the broader concern. It's not so much the pandemic. I think we're going to be facing a pandemic of mental concerns for young kids that are growing up in all of this. This is their new normal. And it is not normal. And we've got to stand up and put a stop to it, which is what you guys are doing in Germantown.
Exactly. And it's just unfortunate that this is even a conversation we're having. This should be 100% parental choice. You know, putting a medical device on a child and requiring it is just not appropriate based on the information we have at this time. So hopefully we continue to be mask optional and don't continue to do the back and forth because it's not good for the kids.
No, it is not. And good for you, Haley, for standing up and speaking out. And thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to our flagship station, KWAM. And hang tight. You know what? Let's get Haley a copy of – Haley, I'm going to send you a copy of one of my books. So we're going to put Haley on hold, and let's send her a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Draw. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. We're going live to Washington. We're going to check in on the big March for Life. Huge crowds turning out. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. The March for Life is underway at this moment, and there is some. We're waiting to hear from some Liberty University students that are marching. Give you fair warning, there's a pretty good chance with that many people there, the cell phone coverage is going to be a little spotty, but we're working right now to try to make that connection. But here's what's happening. So there are some weird groups that have decided to co-opt the March for Life. And you might know them as the Groypers. These are the radical far left or far right, rather, the radical far right groups. And they are marching, looks like some FBI types. The Patriot Front is there. And so they're trying to co-opt this March for Life. It's really unacceptable, but this is where we are right now. And so the police, there's a heavy police presence in the nation's capital right now, as you have all of these as you have all of these groups marching. Our good friends from Young America's Foundation, we're going to be posting a lot of videos, a lot of photos as well on the live show blog over at toddstarns.com. All right, let's go to the phones. And I believe we have Alan, who is a junior at Liberty University. Alan, I understand you're there at the March for Life. Why don't you set the scene for us? What's happening around you?
Yes, I am, and thank you so much for having me. It's absolutely incredible. There are thousands and thousands of people here, and we rallied near the Washington Monument, and then we made our way to the Supreme Court, and so many people were praying and marching, and there was so much energy and life, and it's really encouraging to see that the pro-life movement is so full of so many young and excited conservatives that like are really passionate about this issue.
Alan, if you could, it may be difficult because, like you said, there are just thousands and thousands of people. Can you get a good estimate on, would you say a good many of them are people about your age?
It's incredible how many young people are here, because I feel like the media tries to make the conservative side and the pro-life movement seem like it's a bunch of older people that are out of touch. But I'm telling you, the amount of colleges and high schools and young people, like education organizations that are here, it's one of the most incredible things that I've seen. And there are 500 students at least from Liberty University. We took at least 10 buses this morning, and we all gathered here together. And it's been really incredible to see the youthfulness of the pro-life movement.
Well, good for you. It sounds like you guys are pretty excited, and looks like it. And from at least from the images and the video that we're looking at, that people are just in a good mood, and there's lots of smiles. And you guys have to be so encouraged by some of the Supreme Court and those lower court rulings coming out about, you know, protecting the unborn.
We are. We're excited. A lot of us that are here today, we're here on December 1st for the first day of hearings in Jackson versus Mississippi. And it was incredible to see, because at that rally, there were a lot of pro-choice people there, too. There were more of us. But it was incredible to see that on our side of the fence, there was so much energy and joy. And you could just, like, feel the passion of people. And if you went on the other side, it was, like, just dark. And it's a spiritual battle. And as Christians from Liberty, it's so important that we are here making this stand today. And I couldn't be more proud of my school and proud of all my friends. This is just a really great day for us to be here.
Well, I mean, it just sounds, we can hear the excitement in your voice. Alan, I'm curious, why are you pro-life?
Well, I was always raised in a conservative Christian family. And I was always taught the fundamental truths of the right to life, and taught that life begins at conception. But I have three older sisters. And when I was in eighth grade, my oldest sister had her first baby. She was married, and she had her son, Liam, my nephew. And he was born 5 weeks early. And I remember looking at him in the NICU. And I remember the first time he grabbed my finger, and I remember seeing him and thinking that in some places in the United States, like, it would be legal to kill him. And it really broke my heart. And then my senior year of high school, my school took me to the March for Life for the first time ever. And it was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had. And that was right around the time in New York, Andrew Cuomo legalized abortion, elective abortion, up until like the moment of birth. And that was a moment that I really felt called. I felt called to do something. Because if we're going to claim that we're the body of Christ, we can't sit back idly by and watch something like this go on in our country, in the center of the free world. One of our fundamental natural rights, the right to life, comes from God, that cannot be taken by anyone, being stripped away every day from the most innocent and precious people in our society.
Good for you. Now, I'm curious, and again, I know it's a massive crowd. Have you seen much of a police presence? And we're getting some reports that there are a lot of these far-right groups that were trying to infiltrate the march. Did you see any of that?
There was a good bit of police, especially as we got closer to the Capitol building. There was a little bit of a perimeter of Capitol police officers. I saw a little bit of what I thought might be far-right people, but I wasn't 100% sure. But overall, it's just been a lot of really great people in the crowd. I haven't really seen any counter-protesters. It's been, we seem to be very united as a crowd. From what I saw, there hasn't been too much of anything like that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, Alan, we appreciate you calling in and giving us an update. And tell folks where you are from.
I am from Hopedale, Ohio.
All right. Well, we just had Congressman Jim Jordan on, so it's kind of an Ohio day here on the Todd Stearns radio program. So.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm a big fan of Jim Jordan.
All right.
I'm a big fan of you, too.
Well, you're kind to say that, Alan, and you tell everybody there in the Liberty contingent that we said hello, safe travels, stay warm, and have a good drive back to campus.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Alan Morrow. He is a student at Liberty University. Grace, he seems really excited.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you can't help but feed off the energy, I'm sure, of the people around them, too.
That's true. They, when I worked at Fox News, they would send me down to cover the, you know, the March for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was what got me in the early days. Well, early days, meaning about, what, 14, 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you would primarily have Catholics. So it was the Catholic colleges,
sure.
The Catholic churches and the parochial schools. And it's nice to see the Baptist brethren getting out there.
Yes,
you know, Liberty University
sure.
is a Baptist school, by the way, in case
yeah.
people did not realize that.
Sure.
By the way, I've got a – so anyway, good job, and good job, Liberty University. Grace, I got to play this audio. We there is a reporter from West Virginia. Have you seen this video? It's terrible.
Oh, I love this video.
We have it on ToddStarns.com.
You got to watch it.
A West Virginia reporter – her name is Tori Yorkey. She was hit by a car during a live shot. Now, what you need to listen to is the anchor back in the studio who is completely oblivious. Let's take a listen. Cut five.
And now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze-thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on
okay.
TV, Tori.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you're okay?
You are so sweet, and you are okay.
I am so okay.
It is all good. You know, I... oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from looking.
I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes. But this
happen.
Is live TV and everything's okay. I thought I was in a safe spot, but clearly we might need to move the camera over a bit.
Yeah.
Real question, though. Can the guy back in the studio, like, see her?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he just listening?
No. He could see her. There would be a shot up, so
then
he would be able to see.
That makes it even... if you watch the video, he remained so, like, cool, calm, and collected. I would have been like, are you okay?
Well, that's how, in the radio world, that's exactly what would have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're calling in and saying, oh my God, I've been hit. Well, that's a first for TV, Tori.
Like, what?
It was the news. First of all, props to her. I mean, you know, she was, I'm not sure I would be that collected.
No, and, you know, in that situation, she's her own cameraman and everything.
That's a one-man band is what they call
it. It is a one-man band. So she's, like, fixing the camera, and she's like, it's okay, we'll just move the camera over here, just continue like nothing happened.
Tori, let's go back to Tori in the field. Tori, are you sure you're okay? I got hit by a freaking car, Tim! What do you want me to say? By the way, you know, you can tell she was raised right because I didn't hear anything that had to be bleeped out.
No. She seems sweet.
She didn't go Penny Hardaway on the news anchor. Well, that's a first for us here at the television station, Tori. I wonder if she's getting out of the business. You know, and you heard, did you hear she said she got hit before?
What? I know, in college.
What?
And by the way, she said it was like her last week on the job.
I'm getting out of this place. What's wrong? Tori, are you sure you're okay? I got hit by a car, Tim.
I'm not okay.
Take a break. Toss to weather.
Exactly. That's my thing. I'm like, why didn't they like pan off of it and like do something else?
If that had happened on the radio, there would have been... You would have been like, oh, my God, I got hit by a car. What? What happened? What did the car look like? What, did the driver stop? I mean, was the driver drunk? Apparently, it was an old lady or something.
Well, it was weird, too, because the anchor's like, hey, did you get hit up high or down low? That's why I was like, could he see what happened?
Well, let me check the tread marks, Tim.
Exactly, Tim.
Tim.
Together, Timothy.
You know she was probably not very happy.
Probably not.
I mean, but
she's
at the moment,
off of adrenaline.
If I'm, you know, if I'm working on the national news seat, if I'm at the national level, I would look at somebody like Tori because she kept her cool, you know, as she was being run over by a car.
Yeah.
And what was it, Anderson Cooper? I've never been a big fan of Anderson Cooper, but he said, you know, a couple of years ago, he did that series where he would go diving with the sharks.
Oh, my.
And with the cameras and everything.
I'm sure he felt right
and
at
he
home.
And he said, the worst thing as a reporter, the worst thing, there's only one thing worse than being eaten by the shark. And that would be not turning your camera on as the shark is eating you.
True.
And as a journalist, that makes sense, you know, because you always got to get the visual there. So, anyway.
Can't miss the moment.
Exactly. All right, Tori, back to you. All right, you know what? We need to do next week, Grace. So after I get the I can see again, I need recommendations for new games for the smartphone. I only have one right now. Solitaire.
You need to play Wordle.
Wordle?
What's yep. Have you not seen it on social media?
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm trying to be hip, but right now I'm just a solitaire guy.
Okay.
So I got to work on that. So we'll do that next week. Pentagrams. Is that satanic?
No, anagrams.
Oh, anagrams. I'm sorry. I thought.
Come on, Todd.
Well, you're.
What do you take me for?
Well, game night at the Grace Baker household is already suspect. So you can.
Exploding kittens.
Exploding kittens and the other one about, you know, secret Santa.
Yep, that's it.
Ish. All right, let's go to the phones here. Jeff in Germantown, Tennessee. How's it going, Jeff? What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about my school board, the Germantown School Board, and their broad overreach in implementing a mask mandate for my kids. That's the topic I want to talk about, and that is that we refuse to live our lives in fear anymore. We saw such a dramatic change when our kids were no longer forced to wear masks after almost a year and a half, starting kind of mid-November here in Tennessee. And then, unfortunately, our school board mandated masks at the start of the year. And basically, we were like, no, we're not going backwards. This is about our rights and freedoms, and we're not going to take it. But unfortunately, our school board, the way they mandated it, stunk. And then the way they implemented it was even worse because they had kids who wouldn't comply with wearing masks. They put them essentially in in-school suspension.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, from a parent standpoint, do you have kids that go to the Germantown schools?
That's true, yes. I have one at Houston High School and one at Houston Middle School.
Have you noticed any sorts of changes in their personalities, just demeanor since they've been having to wear these masks and then going through the Zoom classes and all that?
It's been awful. And the whole deal with mandating masks, it's created a culture where, those who are indoctrinated, brainwashed, call it whatever you want, they turn on it on everyone else. So you had students turning on students, teachers turning on teachers. So it was a very toxic culture. And once the mask came off, even since they lifted the mandate, which was just the other day, like the difference is dramatic. And it's what bugs me is that the risk to children is much more significant in terms of their mental health and, their risk of death by suicide and overdose, that's much higher than any kind of risk for COVID, any kind of serious illness there.
And, Jeff, I mean, we had callers last year from Los Angeles. They were calling in saying, hey, look, you know, we've got health department officials out here telling us to rat out our neighbors. I mean, they were literally spying on people. So if you were having a party in your backyard, you were supposed to call the police. So that's what they want. And that's why you have, you know, kids turning on kids, teachers turning on teachers. That's what the government wanted to happen, Jeff. And that is a frightening thing, but it's something that has to happen. Once this country becomes a socialist nation. So if everything goes according to their plan, they're going to have their little army of tattletales ready to go.
Yeah, and we just won't take it anymore. And that's why my kids took a stand. I was super proud of them. And my message to the school board was that their central office is only about 2 miles north of Veterans Cemetery, the West Tennessee Veterans Cemetery. And I my message to them is to go visit those that cemetery and see all those gravestones for all those brave people who sacrificed their safety for our freedoms, and don't think for a second I'm going to be willing to sacrifice those freedoms for other people's fears. We're not going to live in fear anymore.
Good for you. Jeff, what a great call, and what a great way to end this week's conversation, folks, is that we do not have to live in fear. Jeff, thank you for the call. We do not have to live in fear. We can take a stand. And when you stand together, others will stand alongside of you. And I just want you to hear, again, my heart on this as the host of this radio program. We've got over 1 million listeners, 1.2 million podcast downloads. We've got a huge crowd, a huge audience, and we're going to stand and fight for you. You're not in this alone. So you've got lots of other people, and I hope that's the lesson that the people in Germantown, Tennessee learned, that KWAM, the local news talk station, is going to stand alongside of them. So good job, everybody, for doing the right thing. It's been a terrific week here, folks. Want to thank our great team, Grace and Kyle, always working out for you. Folks, get out there, have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.